destroy me and end up happier than ever? No way. He doesn't get to win.
Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
The census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Gina! But I don't care, darling. Because I love you.
Why do you eat people?
Not people. Brains. I can feel myself rot.
Now, Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
We'll
out with friends?
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how's it going, sir?
I am well.
Excellent. And in the state of New York?
I am Mike.
Mike, how are you?
I am fine, Phil. How are you?
Good, good. And the state of Massachusetts?
I am Groot.
That was awesome.
I don't,
that was awesome.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
That's you haven't seen the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, have you?
Yeah, I saw the first one.
All right.
Okay, well, anyway.
I don't know what that has to do with tonight's subject or anything.
Nothing, it was just funny.
Move on.
All right. Hi, everyone. It's Abe here.
Abe, how's it going?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. And can I get American?
This is Chrissy.
Chrissy, how are you?
I'm good. I've eaten 2 rolls of Lifesavers in the last 10 minutes.
There you go. Well, let's see here. What are we? We're darkdiscussions.com, where we discuss horror films, such as, tonight's film. But before we get into any, all that, Eric, why don't you let everybody know about another podcast that you do with your buddy Dan?
I do a general interest podcast called The Askanty Podcast. That's spelled ASKANCITY. You can find it on Google Play, Stitcher, and the iTunes Store.
Excellent. And, Mike, you do a genre blog, do some other podcasts, things of that nature?
Yeah, the blog is Unnatural Selections, www.unnaturalselections.com. And I probably will soon have a post up. Someone had asked a question about are the Universal monsters still relevant? And I ended up writing a long post on Facebook about that, and I think I'm just going to transfer it over and put it on the Unnatural Selections page, so it'll finally get an update. Then we also do podcasts, the spin-off podcast You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, about Game of Thrones, Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, about Westworld, and Searching for American Gods, about, obviously, American Gods. And they will hopefully be returning sometime in 2019.
All right, very good. That's a weird thing that someone would ask, because they may be relevant, but that doesn't mean you have to have watched them, so I don't know, it's just weird.
Well, I think it was in line of, like, with the Universal's attempt to do the Dark Universe, you know, that is there any
reason? Those were just bad films.
Well, was there any reason, there was only one film made, but was there any reason for people to care about Dracula, Frankenstein, the Mummy, and so forth, but
if they were well done.
If they're well done, and they're done as horror films.
Right, instead of action, drama, fantasy, that crap.
Well, right, like, I mean, you look at something like The Invisible Man, you know, which is, yeah, I was just saying that's about something that, you know, what do you do when nobody can see what you're doing? I mean, that seems like a very good parallel to the way people behave on the internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you don't even need to have symbolism. You could just have scary films.
You could, but if they're talking about is it relevant today, you can absolutely make them relevant to today's issues if you wanted to do that.
But they're relevant also if they're just scary and good films, then they're relevant.
I thought you were trying to get them to move on, Phil.
That's a good point. speaking of Chrissy, you do things.
I do. You can find out more about me at ChristyPetersonSchoonover.com. Sorry, I was just... My mind just went somewhere it shouldn't have.
And Abe, where can people find Dark Discussions as well as links to all these other things that were just mentioned?
At our website, darkdiscussions.com. If you look on the right-hand side, you can find links to some of our friends and all the articles that, and blogs that have been mentioned in passing. So if you want to have a little exploring, please drop in and say hello.
Excellent. And Eric, there's something else that's on the front page of Dark Discussions?
There is. There's a link to our Patreon account. Patreon is an online service that lets you support your online artists, like podcasters. Putting this free show out is not free, so if you'd like to help us offset the cost of producing the show, you can go to the link on our front page of darkdiscussions.com, or you can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions, and for every $5 a month you care to donate, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly cover on a show. We draw them on a quarterly basis from all the $5 or more donors. So, for more details, you can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link from our front page.
Excellent. Let's see. There's a couple things. I think, Mike, you wanted to talk a little bit about experiences at Scares of Care.
Well, yeah, we were both at Scares of Care. So, Phil, you came on Friday, right?
I did. I came... Did I come Friday?
Well, you came down Thursday night, had Thursday dinner night with a random stranger, and...
No, Barrett Heisner, who's on our Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group.
Okay. So, yeah, so this was the fifth Scares I Care weekend, and I've been at all five, and I did two panels. You did one with me, which we recorded the one, and the other one, I believe, Amy Tobin-Davis, or Davis Tobin, I can't remember which, has recorded, and we'll be putting that up. I don't know if she's putting on YouTube or what. So the first we did was the talking about the Night of the Living Dead and its 50th anniversary and sort of the impact with zombie culture, and you were on it, I was on it, Elizabeth Catherine Gray, Amy Tobin Davis was on it, as well as Jeffrey Clare from All Things Zombie, and I'm trying to remember the name of the author, James D. Dean, author was on the panel, and John Jack, who's a fixture, is a friend of mine and is a fixture at Scares the Care, and a huge fan of Night of the Living Dead, and more importantly, part of, FEMA. So he was able to give us the lowdown on just really how fucked we would be if there was a zombie apocalypse.
That is true. Yep. So that was good. They had the normal stuff, as they always do, the vendors, the photo ops, the semi-famous people,
yep.
The auction, and so on and so forth. So, it was a good time.
And you won Taylor Swift?
Yes, I did. I won Taylor Swift's autograph photo. Yep. It's already hanging on the wall of the toy room for the kids.
Do they know who she is?
For the kids?
Hell yeah. They always demand her, Nicki Minaj, Demi Lovato, and Katy Perry. Those four have to be rotated continuously, and they dance to them. So, in the toy room, in the porch. Shake It Off, I think, is their favorite song by Taylor Swift.
That is a good one.
It is. Yeah. So I won that. You almost won the Michael Rooker. You were actually stuck doing the panel, I think, so you couldn't get...
Right, so, yeah, the...
Let me know. I would have filled it out for you, but continue.
Yeah, Amy's panel started at 5:30, and that was the one on the French Extreme Horror, and which is also the exact time that the silent auction ended. And so they kind of got screwed on audience, although people started filtering in towards the end.
Well, there was a lot of problems when it came to that, because the auction was ending at the same time as your panel... Or her panel, I should say. And right. Then the Michael Lombardo's film, Dreaming of a Doom Christmas, or whatever it's called, was playing.
I'm Dreaming of a White Doomsday.
Yeah. And that was the debut of that film at the Scares of Care. So all three were at the same time. And so that was kind of killed a lot of people's, audience, because everybody was either, chose one and that's it.
And we did the 5K. And killed me for about 3 days. So I can get my legs back.
Yep,
did it go better than last time, Mike?
Ended up actually about the same time. But it didn't feel as bad because it wasn't 100 degree heat.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and this one, it was in the under the it was like a forest trail that was tarred. And so there was a lot of trees, so there wasn't the sun beating down on you.
Right. And we actually stopped a couple of times to talk to people, or there was the one guy we helped out, you know.
Wolfman.
So he probably did shave a couple of minutes off, but nothing substantial.
Okay.
Yep.
But they did, but, you know, we raised, I should point that out, that through donations for the 5K, not counting our own registration fees, we raised $500 for the charity, and then I had emptied out my closet of old T-shirts and gave them away to people, and they volunteered to give me money for the T-shirts, and that ended up raising $250 for the charity there. And then I had two items I put in for the silent auction, and that was like another 180 that got raised. So all told, it ended up raising just under $1,000 for Scares the Care.
And don't forget the weekend passes. So if you add those in, mine and yours, that's over $1,000 then.
Well, yeah, but those go more towards, you know, the costs of other things just to sign up for, as opposed to stuff that's just going straight, you know, to the charity.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Yeah. Very good. Very good. I felt it went quite well. I didn't see any glitches. If there were any, it was all behind the scenes. And I think there may have been some here or there. But I didn't see anything, and everything went pretty good my first time at Skizik here, and it was a good time.
And the costume, you know, there's always, they have a costume competition every year, and there's some fantastic costumes. But apparently there were complaints by some of the cosplayers, and, you know, I understand some of them complaining about if anybody was pinching or groping or saying lewd or offensive comments, and it's unfortunate that happens. It goes with the territory, but that doesn't excuse it. But apparently it's a thing now to complain when people don't know who the fuck you're cosplaying as.
Jesus.
Make a better costume or pick somebody that's more well-known.
Yeah, I mean, I understand if you're getting annoyed, like, you don't know that it's Deadpool or something, but, you know, when you cosplay as a random video game character or somebody from an anime and you're going to a horror convention, you know, then maybe people don't know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and I always used to, like, I used to do a lot of odd costumes when I was a kid. My mom used to make them for me. And even at that young age, I would go to school and people would say, "Oh, who are you?" And I would revel in that. I'd be like, "Oh my God, I'm this character from this show, and I do this." And, you know, I don't understand. Like, you're clearly not passionately in love enough with your character if you don't take that moment as an opportunity to share it with someone who doesn't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? I'm sorry, but, you know, really, if you love your character that much, you should be excited. You should not be complaining about it.
Right, when Phil goes and cosplays as Bag Boy Lover Boy, he uses that as an opportunity to sell the film.
That's a damn good film, by the way.
Exactly, right? You relish the opportunity to tell somebody, like, "You haven't seen this? Oh my God, you've got to."
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, true.
Sell
true.
It, man. Sell it. You know? That's what it's about. So, anyway. I turned a lot of my friends on to Battle of the Planets because I went as Princess one year. You know? Pretty cool.
What else? I think second day, a lot of the podcasts got shifted by a half hour, I think. But I didn't notice that as an issue because it didn't affect me. The show went down pretty good, I guess. I would say so, anyway.
I hope. And, you know, they're still settling in. I'm going to talk to Joe, you know, see if we got any feedback. But we'll see. Like I said, I'm definitely going to be looking forward to doing it next year. All the guests, I think, were great. Again, if you live in that area, you know, go to conventions. Go support a local convention if you have a local convention near you. A lot of the actors that are there, you know, that's kind of how some of the actors who have not been working for a while are making a living, or at least supporting their income. There's a lot of dealers that can use the cash, too. And you make a lot of friends. It's a good experience.
Yeah, like Barrett Heisner, who I mentioned that I met on the way down, he's out of Richmond area, which is only about an hour away. And he may actually check it out next year. But, yes, he does the Williamsburg. They have a Mars Con, so it's like a science fiction con in January, and he goes to that every year. And, you know, if you live local, like he does an example, for example, or whatever, you should check some of these cons out if you know that they're run well and they're a quality, you know, conventions and not just a scam. And I would most certainly say that Skizak here is not a scam by any means. So if you're in the greater Virginia area, northern North Carolina area, it's probably worth checking out. For sure.
Oh, and Carrie Mellon was down there.
That's right. Yep. That's right. She had a Dark Discussions t-shirt on.
Yeah, she did. The one gave her last year or 2 years ago, whenever we made that one.
Yeah, I forget. It was last year, 2 years ago. I can't remember when. Yeah. But it was just total coincidence. She was wearing it. It was just kind of funny to see it. Mike pointed it out. I didn't even notice it until you pointed it out. Yeah. And she had a great line because we forced her to take pictures, and it's like she just wanted to go get her prime rib.
Prime rib buffet. They did pull out a prime rib buffet for us.
They did. I guess it's the second year in a row they did it, and because it was so popular last year, Joe lobbied the hotel to do it again.
And it was. I like steak, but I'm not a huge fan of prime rib. I thought it was very tasty. Whatever they did to season it, I like.
Yeah. It was pretty good. Yeah.
Well, and as long as we're talking about the event, I think it's worth noting that the hotel where the event is held, in addition to dealing with all the people visiting, also made a significant donation themselves to Scares That Care. So I thought that was really cool.
It was. Me and Mike actually saw the donation announced because it was right during right before the costume award show. And they came out and brought Joe Ripple, the guy that runs the convention, a $7,000 check.
Yeah, that's freaking awesome.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome. What's the name of the hotel?
The Doubletree Hilton.
The Doubletree? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I'll patronize them before anybody else. Like, if I take that stuff really seriously, if I know people are doing good community service, I support the brand more than I'm, you know.
Well, and especially
over another one, I'll pick one that does community service over one that doesn't. So
well,
yeah.
And especially, I want to point out it's that particular hotel, and I don't mean to take away from the chain as a whole, but that hotel in Williamsburg, which is right next to Busch Gardens. Mm-hmm. They open their doors to the convention every year. They want them coming back every year. They have the workers in the hotel dress up, you know, for that. They decorate the hotel for it. They give the special menu for the hotel. They do whatever they can. Whatever the complaints are, that it was too cold, there was ran out of money at the ATM, those complaints are dealt with the next year, so we don't run into them again.
Wow.
So they're really, really good to the charity and to the cause. I also want to point out, I know Doug Bradley donated $300 and Sid Haig donated $1,200.
Nice.
Sid's not looking that great. You know, he's about to turn 80, so maybe that's just that. But he definitely looked like he'd lost a lot of weight since we saw him, it was about a little over a year ago, right, Phil?
Yeah, exactly, a little over a year ago, and he had a lot more weight back then, that's for sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's very thin now, is what I mean. I didn't mean he was fat.
Yeah, so that was something that everybody was kind of talking about.
Right.
You know, behind the scenes, kind of, you know, off to the side. I don't think anyone said anything to him, but there were a lot of the fans that were concerned because he goes there almost every year.
Damn.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll still say one thing. He still has a sex drive because there was this woman that came to the midnight podcast with us, and she has like humongous.
She was amply endowed.
Yeah, and she's showing them like a lot of cleavage. And she said she was talking about Sid Haig, and he said that Sid Haig asked to see him, and I said, so did you show him? And she goes, yeah, damn right, I did. It's Sid Haig. So Sid Haig is definitely still spry in some ways. I thought it was a funny thing.
Yeah, it's
kind of,
yeah.
So,
he's
yeah,
not
but
dead yet.
Yeah, he's not. But yeah, 7,000, which is that's a pretty good chunk of change for a company that's obviously trying to make a profit and very hectic, and they're also now participating in helping the charity as well. So they're actually almost like part of the charity now. I mean,
yeah. I mean, the reason I thought it was so impressive is because it's in addition to working their asses off to support the influx of interesting people that come with the convention. So it's mm-hmm. it's doubly awesome.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah, and they're going to be announcing probably in the next week when the hotel rooms will go on sale for next year. And like they sold out in like 45 minutes last year. So
wow.
Yeah. So definitely there is going to be a Skizik here. Seven, is it, Mike? Seven?
Six.
Okay. Yeah, six. Because it excelled enough this past year, these past 2 years, that they're going to go continue anyway until whenever. Anything else, Mike, on Skizik here that you want to bring up? Anything?
No, you'll pay attention. We'll be hopefully dropping soon some of the podcasts from the two conventions we've done this year.
Boom! That was the sound of them dropping.
Not yet.
I will say one thing, especially in the book world. Me and my friend Stacy laugh about it all the time because they'll say, oh, my short story collection is going to drop at Anthocon, or it's going to drop here or drop there. And you know what? To me, it always sounds like somebody's talking about taking a dump. It's just not a very attractive way to
put it. Well, not speaking to any of your friends, but some of the books people write.
I agree. But I mean, it's just...
Let's see. Anything else anybody want to bring up? Anything?
About nope. I think it's time for a topic.
All right, so that sounds good, Eric. So I guess with all that stated, I think we can get into our topic tonight. So, Eric, why don't everybody know what we're going to discuss tonight?
All right. Tonight we're discussing the Baby Gone From Theaters Already movie, Slender Man.
Only if there's justice in this world.
Okay, Twitter poll. If you could stay one age forever, what would it be?
What about the age we are right now? Seriously?
Sometimes I wish we could just get out of this stupid town together.
Some of the cops asked you. They wanted to know if she ever talked about running away. Check this out. Here is the last site she visited. Slender Man. He preys on innocent youth.
What was that? I think this is how we get Katie back.
Those who hear the three bells toll accept his invitation. When you hear the first, you must close your eyes.
Katie!
Opening your eyes. Only once you've heard the third.
He gets in your head like a virus.
Something he takes. Something he drives mad.
Once you see him, you can't unsee him.
Okay, so basically based off of some of those comments, probably already get an idea what folks may think of this film, possibly. But before we get into all that, Slender Man is a 2018 film directed by a guy named Sylvain White, who's done a few horror films that haven't really been considered that good. The film stars Joey King, Julia Goldani, Tellis, Jazz Sinclair, and Elise Basso, and Javier Bolte. The film, I actually was very curious because when I was watching the film at the theaters, I was like, I know this town where they were filmed. And so when I got home, I looked it up, and it, sure enough, it was a town that I grew up 6 miles from, and I had just driven through 3 days before going to watching the film. So I was shocked to find out that it was filmed in Ayer, Massachusetts, which is right down the street from where I grew up and where I live now. And I didn't even know they were filming it there. The movie has actually, they claimed it was, Wiki says a weird thing, it says 10 to 28 million, but I heard it was only a $10 million budget from reliable sources, and it already made its profit the first week of $11 million, I think. The film had some issues at the beginning of the year. They were promoting it big time, but then the production company came in and edited it a lot because they were worried about backlash from the 2014 incident from some kids in the Milwaukee area. Then they were trying to dump the film because they decided that it wasn't worth marketing, especially if there's going to be a backlash. And then they decided to release it anyway. And when they did determine to release it, they did not know that Meg was going to be moved up a week as well. So two horror films were fighting it out, and yet they still both made profits. But the whole thing was bizarre because the Slender Man was supposed to be the next big Freddy or Jason or whatever, because there is a big history of the character in the past 10 years that you would think if the film was released properly and all these other things, it could have been a huge blockbuster instead of, as Eric mentioned, it may be out of theaters already. So let's go around and discuss how we heard about this film and what we thought about it. So let's start with you, Abe.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because this movie sucks ass. And I pay... I don't... Oh, God.
Well, hey, I got in for free, so I'm cool.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, it was bargain day. And that doesn't make it feel any better. But... But all right, so me and my madre went to see it on Tuesday on bargain day, and the movie started off much very cringy. We'll get into that with some of the dialogue, and at times it started to pick up, and it started getting good, and it's or at least seemed to be getting good, but then it just got worse and sloppier, and it felt like the parts cut out from it, and things that were just half-assed, and it was just the most boring, sloppy, forgettable fucking movie I've sat through this year. I think I've honestly found my worst of 2018. A funny thing was, I was keeping track of the time. I actually matched the time up and did use a timer to count down to the end of the movie. And I decided to play a little joke of my mother, and I was like, Mom, there's 30 minutes in the movie. And she gripped the seat and she looked at me bug-eyed like, what? She was actually more scared of the movie, there being more of the movie than there was anything in the fucking movie. That was what scared me the most. The whole movie was, the movie felt longer than 90 minutes. It was a drag out, boring slog of a film. And it was, I think we managed to make fun of, make our own fun with the film by just laughing at some of the absurdity and the sad attempted scares and the visual effects that feel so dated. And I honestly think if they really wanted to do Slender Man and, you know, make him big, they should have done it at the height of this character's popularity. Because in my opinion, they missed the fucking bandwagon. They really missed the bandwagon because that's what I remember. When Slender Man was become this huge thing that was getting circulated around the internet with little mini games on the internet and some videos being made on YouTube and all kinds of fan fiction and stories and stuff, You're back or so. They missed the bandwagon. And it shows. Because this movie not only was a disaster in terms of concepts, but it was just a disaster in just the timing. This movie was just bad. And I really think it's not going to surprise me at all when it's out of theaters, because really, this was just this movie sucked. This, fuck this film.
All right, very good. All right, so
next week's topic it will be something else.
Okay. All right, Mike, where did you go?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I found out about the film while looking for this year's movies, and I think wasn't there like already a direct to video Slender Man that came out like in February?
That's right. Yeah, called Marble Hornets. Something Marble Hornets film. I forget. I'll get the title of it. But anyway, continue, Mike.
Yeah. So, and we were originally going to be doing it for the Mystic Gathering, which could have been interesting. but because it was supposed to be released like in 2 weeks, and they moved it up to the 10th, and so then the reviews started coming in, and the box office projections started coming in, and
always watching a Marble Hornets story.
And I think it was Eric who said maybe we should do this now because it may not be in theaters.
No, I think that was me.
Maybe it was Phil. It was someone with a husky voice.
I have a husky voice.
So not Abe.
Well, I should. I was going to say someone with a manly voice, but yeah, because anyhow, it was ungood. I'm not going to say I hated it as much as The Gallows or Bite what was the one really bad?
Oh, Bite was terrible.
And Birth or something, I think, was one of them. It's that I thought was awful. And in this,
that one.
And we saw it last Sunday. Pam and I. Pam didn't like it either. We paid for one ticket because I got the AMC Movie Pass version, whatever. It's A+, so I didn't have to pay for my ticket.
A list,
yeah. You still have to pay for Pam's though. It was just there were so many missed opportunities, and the timing I don't care about because I missed the whole Slender Man thing, but movies tend to be slow in development and things come and go so quickly on their internet it's really hard to cash in on time. I still think the potential is there if this was done well to create something, and even if it wouldn't have been a cash in, but maybe bring it back. I don't know. It was we'll get into details, but it was not well done. It was not well edited. There's characters in the film for reasons that baffle me because they go nowhere. They do nothing.
There was a lot of cuts. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's part of the editing.
And we watched, it was a full house on Wednesday, on a Sunday afternoon, a lot of tweens, right? A lot of, I'm guessing, like the 12 to 14 year olds. Nobody got stabbed, as far as I know.
In the theater?
In the theater. No, okay. Yeah, there were no stabbing. Nobody stabbed each other because Slender Man told them to. But it was, I don't think any, I don't, and there were, and some of them, like, they were creeped out by stupid shit because they're kids who haven't seen a horror movie. which I don't look. I don't mind if you're gonna hold me to the shit I liked when I was 12. Yeah. I'm disowning. I refuse to admit I liked any of those things. But yeah. So that's fine. And if it works for them, God bless them. But I'm an adult who's seen other films, and I've just sat through 2 weeks of French extreme horror movies, and this was just. So yeah. Abe said so much better than I ever could. So,
all right, very good. I heard about the film through our discussion of looking for films that were coming this year. The Slender Man idea I found out about a couple of years ago when I first bought my iPad and I was looking for apps, horror apps, and Slender Man kept on popping up, and I didn't know what the hell that was, and I did research, and it's pretty friggin' cool. Slender Man is awesome, though I haven't really gone in depth to it, because I've just been way too busy, and it's easy to read stuff than watch all the videos online. But when the movie was coming out, I was very excited because the whole concept is awesome. I think what Mike said is a better way to put it than A, which is it's a missed opportunity. Because if the film is put, you know, like Mike said, if they did it the correctly, they didn't have editing. I mean, if you look at the original trailer for this film, there's whole scenes that were really cool in the trailer that have been completely cut out, and they weren't made specifically for the trailer. They were actually in the film, and they were all cut out. So there's a lot of problems with editing because of that. As Mike said, characters and stories go places and then just disappear, and it's like, what happened? And it's because it's all been cut out. The backlash from some of the people saying it's in bad taste, it's stupid, because you know, you're not going to blame art for what happened 4 years ago because of some stupid kids. That's like people saying that Frankenstein is bad, or the whatever, Jason's bad, or whatever. It's just, fuck you. For the movie itself, yeah, it's unfortunately very slow. It's very dark, too. I can't stand these films nowadays.
You
a
mean
lot of
actually
films,
dark, right? Like lack of light?
Yeah, well, okay. A combination of the night scenes were way too dark, and the daylight scenes are tinted like a blue, like a mm-hmm. lot of films,
yeah.
Which is unfortunate. It just makes it blurry and whatever. And even though I like a good, moody, brooding type of film, I don't think you need to do that stuff. Like Super Dark Times is a great film that is very brooding and moody and whatever, and they don't do any of that weird tinting. So I was unfortunately disappointed. There were some interesting aspects. I could see why the teenagers that Mike saw the film with thought parts of it were cool, because those things are cool. It's just that, as Mike also mentioned, we had seen it prior. And unfortunately, it was cool in a film that was a bit sloppily put together due to the cuts and whatnot. So, it's a huge missed opportunity, and very unfortunate, because I don't know what this will do for the Slender Man in film. But all in all, Slender Man's still there. So if you like Slender Man, you can go and check all the cool YouTube videos and stuff as well.
Slender Man died for our sins.
Eric.
This is weird. I might be coming in highest on this film. And make no mistake.
I'm holding out for Chrissy.
Make no mistake, this is not a good movie. I am looking at the positive. I'm choosing to look at the positive so I don't feel like I wasted my time entirely. There are some good aspects of this movie. I think some of the people involved with it are talented. There were some visuals that I enjoyed. There was some stuff they did with the sound design that I enjoyed. But altogether, the big problem with the movie is that the script is crap. And it just... It couldn't have worked. So I'm not going to discount the director, and I think some of the young actors were fine. But this effort just didn't come together. It didn't work. I did actually nod off at one point, which is a problem. So I don't think this movie is good. But I think there's some talent involved with it, and I hope they get a better script to work with in the future.
All right, very good. Yeah, that's a good point, Eric. The sound design, yeah, it was really cool. Chrissy?
I think there are things in this movie that are worth noting. There is some very nice work that's done with shadows. In particular, if you look in the backgrounds of certain scenes, there are shadows of the Slender Man behind a lot of people. And you have to look for it, and it was very subtle, and that was quite nicely done. I agree with Eric about the sound design. I think for me that was the most impressive thing. But I was disappointed in this film because along the lines of what Phil said with missed opportunity, it really could have been quite good. It could have been very strong on making solid commentary on like today's viral internet environment, the lack of identity, the group mentality that is often fed by today's anonymous internet. I mean, think about it. Slender Man is faceless, and what are we when we're on the internet? Also, it could have been a really great Poe-esque tale in the vein of like the Telltale. In other words, is it real or is it madness? And the thing was, is that there were slivers of all of this in there. There really were, but there was no buildup of tension. Act three spends too much time on delusions. The character arcs, oh my God, this is like one of the first movies I've seen where the character arcs all have endings, but none of them have beginnings. So essentially, what is that? Like, I've never, wow, is that like a new writing technique? Like, what is that? It's awful.
In 40 years, they'll be talking about how groundbreaking.
Oh, my God.
Because everybody knows beginnings. We just want to skip to the end.
Oh, geez. And the conclusion of the film, particularly with Hale, you know, the last act, the last sacrificial act of the film, isn't justified at all because they didn't build it correctly on the front end. So,
well, and then, yeah, the ending was particularly lame.
I think a lot of that was probably part of the cut on the floor about the
film. I disagree with you, Phil. Because the pieces that
I'm not arguing for it. I'm just guessing.
Right. Yeah. Well, let me finish. But the film had such potential. All right, I'm going to go here, despite what I said on Facebook this week. This film had such potential to be elevated horror.
Oh God! Don't start that shit.
Well, let me finish. It completely missed the mark. Whoever wrote this, I'm sorry, has a complete lack of familiarity with any kind of story structure at all. That's not surprising with a lot of horror writing and a lot of horror films. A lot of these things lack structure because, you know, these people, they don't study or whatever. They don't actually go and learn what structure is. They just think, okay, if we throw a lot of scary stuff in it or a lot of boobs or a lot of gore, we can have a movie and make money, or we can have a novel and make money. And it's sad, but it's true.
Well, but this film isn't a boob or bloody. This isn't a boob or bloody film, though.
Right, but still, they were going for scares, which failed. And they just thought, oh, well, if it's Slender Man and we do some scary stuff, who cares about structure? No. Structure needs to be in everything. And this violated every single rule of decent story structure ever. And I know, getting back to what you were saying, there were scenes that were cut because it was so controversial. But honestly, I strongly doubt that those scenes would have done anything other than just make it a convoluted mess.
Right.
Really, I don't think that there was brilliant story development or character development here that they cut. I really don't. I think it was cut for shock value. I mean, you know, it is getting a lot of backlash. There was an online petition. It was not shown. It was not shown.
Don't understand. What's the backlash about?
Well, first of all, they would not show it in the Milwaukee area because...
Well, okay, I kind of get that.
For the listeners who don't know, I'll sum this up in 1 second or two. There was a stabbing that occurred in 2014 in Milwaukee. It has been...
suburbs of Milwaukee.
The suburbs of Milwaukee, what some strange Midwestern town name. But the Slender Man, it's been called the Slender Man stabbing. And basically what happened was two 12-year-olds lured a classmate into the woods and stabbed her 19 times, all to impress the Slender Man because they wanted to go live in the woods in his mansion. The victim survived miraculously. She crawled out of the woods. Both girls, I believe now, that were responsible for this have been sentenced to institutional care for mental illness. And the people in that area, as well as some other things, like IndieWire, I know, and Newsweek called it distasteful. You know, it's really, you know, trashy. It's not appropriate. You know, I failed to honestly see the connection between anything in this film and the stabbing that went on by two teenagers who obviously had, you know, some
behavioral health issues.
Well, yeah, and I read a little bit about it, and there really is no connection. And the Slender Man thing was it came and go in that case. It wasn't like, I think the girl that said that eventually changed her story, and was all over the place because she's mentally ill.
Yeah. They both are. They're both serving. They were tried as adults. They were found mentally incompetent, and one of them has been sentenced to 25 years in a mental institution. The other for 40 years. So neither one of them is getting out. You know, before, you know, they're in their 30s and probably, you know, maybe even their 40s. If they're even well enough to be let out then, which, you know, it is, despite what you see in movies, not easy or common for someone to actually get off, if you want to call it getting off, on a psychiatric problem. It is really, really rare for that to happen. In some cases, that can actually be worse because, you know, with a prison sentence, you have unless it's obviously for life, you have a finite limit, and you can just keep extending a lot of times these psych things if they decide you're still kind of crazy.
Well, and the reality is, you know, and we're here to discuss the movie, not the case, of course.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I really believe that, I know the one girl, her father was a schizophrenic, and the fact that the parents saw these warning signs and didn't see that maybe this girl had the same thing her father had, you know, if it wasn't Slender Man, it would have been something else.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody pointing the finger at the Slender Man is the way to go. Severe issues there, and it didn't matter whether it was Slender Man or not.
I don't think a lot of people are pointing it at Slender Man. I think it was a stupid documentary that was released on HBO that pumped it up, and a few handful of Mary Whitehouses that exist in today's world that, and there's the internet, so they can say, look, this, it's bad, when in fact it's no more dangerous or bad than Get Out.
I don't think that was really what they were saying in the documentary, which I just finished watching.
Yeah, I've twice and once this week, and it's still stupid in my opinion. But continue.
No, I mean, it's that these were girls who had mental problems, and yeah, when you let kids lose their lives in the internet, if they have mental problems, you know, then there may be things that happen. This is, you know, they weren't trying to blame it on Slender Man, and this is why I have an issue. The movie, if this was a movie about that or a fictionalized telling of that story, I can understand people saying it's being exploitative or it's cashing in. Mm-hmm. It didn't. Yeah. It took something that pre-existed that was its own little mini cultural phenomenon outside of this incident.
Right.
You know, it's not like nobody had heard of Slender Man until this happened.
Slender Man was a creepypasta, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's his own story, own videos online and whatnot.
It was actually a contest winner or something. It was like a 2009 contest, and this guy named Eric, I think his last name is Knudsen.
Yeah, the same name as the lead actress's character in the movie.
Yeah, it was something like develop or show us a picture with something creepy in it that looks real. That's what it was. It was just a photo contest. Okay. And he, like, photoshopped or whatever he did, and I don't know if the contest had a winner or if it was just whatever, and it started all of this. And, you know, there is also, of course, it's not surprising that it took off like it did
because it's awesome.
Well, and throughout many cultures, you know, we have them in the Chinese culture, the Asian cultures have them, you know, the German folklore is, you know, the Pied Piper of Hamelin. There are plenty of the Mexican La Llorona, I think that's how you pronounce it. Forgive me if that's wrong. But she is a woman who weeps, and in one version of that folklore tale, she drowns children if they get too close to the river. That's a big thing in Texas, actually. And, you know, the thing is, there's always been this folklore surrounding disappearing children. And so it makes sense that Slender Man is really a modern-day, updated Pied Piper or La Llorona or, you know, some of these Japanese and Chinese specters that I honestly can't pronounce. There's also a Dybbuk, I believe, in the Jewish religion, too, and I forget. I wrote that in my notes. I'll look it up later. But there's one in that religion, too, that also, like, steals children and steals babies from the womb. So this is a very common thing. And the reason it's effective folklore is it is because it's about the fear of giving birth to something and the world can harm it. That's where it comes from. You know, it comes from that deep-seated fear. And this is why Slender Man is so popular. Because honestly, all it really is a very updated modern retelling of these things that in some cases are thousands of years old. Some of these stories are thousands and thousands of years old. Mm-hmm. So
the reason it's popular is because it's an awesome monster. It's the coolest thing ever.
Right. And well, there's also...
Oh, go ahead, Mike. I'm done.
There's also, I've not done nearly as much research, I'm sure, as you have, and I only barely knew about Slender Man before a couple of years ago and not something I paid attention to. But, you know, the appeal to the kids, right, is, you know, coming up with Slender Man fan fiction. They want to run off with Slender Man. Is, you know, the idea that maybe Slender Man is taking them to someplace better. And kids being who they are, all of their lives suck.
Yeah.
Because they're kids. And they don't know shit.
And they're millennials, too.
No, they're not. If they're kids, they're not millennials.
That's true.
Well,
they would be when Slender Man first came out.
No, actually, millennials started, like, in the late 80s was when they were, mid-80s when they were born. And so they would have been teens when Slender Man was starting. But anyway, that's kind of the appeal to kids, right? Is, you know, come join me, I'll take you away. It is a creepy image, right? It's just a good
image. It's awesome. The best image ever.
But I actually liked watching the documentary, and they had, I'm guessing, with some of the YouTube footage.
Yeah,
they
were better. Awesome.
There were better images, like they had, because I guess there's tentacles somewhere, because that's how they get the Japanese involved, but, so there's images where you see shadows on the wall instead of actual tentacles, and there was stuff like that I thought was far more effective than the shitty CGI they used in this movie.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I thought that, I had mentioned that the places where they simply used shadow imagery were actually good. Mm-hmm. Everything else in terms of, like, effects, not so much. Yeah, it's just kind of like, whatever.
The take where the creature being pushed out into the front so often was a detriment to the film. There were really effective moments where he was kind of in the background or just shadow.
Like the library scene. I like the library scene.
Yeah, I did too. I really liked that scene.
Those moments worked, but there were so many moments where they overdid it and always use these kind of shocking or weird, really very obvious effects of CGI effects that just overdid it or became too try hard, in my opinion. Some of the moments were just tried too so hard to be scary or shocking that they came off as unintentionally silly or just fell flat.
Go ahead, Eric.
I was just going to say, I thought that some of the more effective moments in the movie were the video calls.
Where
these teenage girls would get a video call from somebody, and they would see the front of their house, and they'd look out the window, and nobody's there, but the video call on their phone starts coming towards their house and comes into their house. Yeah. But they don't see anybody, and I thought that was actually the most effective thing in the movie. Yeah.
Was my favorite thing in the movie was those video calls, Eric. I love that.
Yeah, there was basically the POV of something moving through the house, and it basically they try to follow each of its steps, and it gets closer and closer, but you don't see whose POV it is. you know, but we never see it. And, but it's creeping closer to where they're hiding.
It's and awesome.
That was cool. That was creative. But, you know, there was some things like the cheap dream sequences that were just went nowhere. And there were just some moments where Slenderman was just too pushed out too and shown too much that he came off as almost like a video game character.
I mean, I did think that aside from the video POVs, I'm with Eric on that. That was my favorite. That was my favorite. Like, I thought that was great.
That
those were actually the only things in the movie that bothered me. Like, everything else, I was not
you,
meaning like, ooh, I'm a little creeped out. Yeah. That, like, I mean, I wasn't, like, scared or anything, but I'm like, oh, that's creepy. I don't, I'm afraid to kind of answer my phone now in case that's happening. Like, you know, and that's why I thought that was very effective, because it really kind of made me go, ugh. But I also thought the tree scenes in the woods with the fog were really effective.
There was some good camera work. There was some great shots.
Yeah, and you didn't see anything. It was just staring into the fog with these trees, and I thought that was very effective too, because a lot of it was left to your imagination, like, oh my god, wait, is that a tree, or is that like something moving? And that was really well done too. It's just a shame that it just couldn't hold together. Like,
right, well, and I think we're all agreeing on this point, was the best part of this movie were the parts that were subtle.
Yes.
But they just couldn't restrain themselves, and or maybe it was direction from the studio that hey, you got to amp it up, because it sounds like there's a fair amount of studio interference with the production of this movie as well. The subtle video effects were the best part of the movie, and the camera work, but like the script was crap. And I don't even think the actors necessarily did a bad job. They just weren't given a whole lot to work with. Like some of the relationships between the characters were just like, wait, what? What?
I want to touch on the acting for a second there, because I kind of had a feeling too, because when earlier in the film, when the girls had to act like teenage girls, this dialogue was absolutely cringy. It was absolutely painful to listen to.
Yeah.
But when they're put into dangerous situations, they're becoming, tensions rising, and they're becoming afraid and uncertain. The acting chops of the actresses come through. They actually do really good, but the material they're giving them is crap.
They were probably given written material to act like teenage girls that isn't what actually teenage girls act like.
But when they're acting like people. And the threat of something powerful, they really do the best they can.
Yeah, there were things like the first one who dies, vanishes, whatever.
Katie. Right? Is the first one.
So there was just stupid shit with, like, they just show up and we haven't seen anything to justify her acting weird or strange. And she just said, oh, shit's been happening to me for the last week. Oh, I'm gone. And it's sort of, and I did very much think of the Freddy Krueger series, the Nightmare on Elm Street series, while watching this, because you have that same thing that they're being stalked by a character in, you know, being haunted by his dreams. But there, you know, they actually, you know, tend to spend time with the characters, and you tend to see them being haunted in their dreams. They don't just say, "Hey, yeah, I'm being haunted in my dreams." Where shit's happening to me? They never pay it off.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, too, is that they go and they all do this thing, right? And it's clear that they're all affected by the Slender Man. But then they get to the cemetery.
In Ayer, Massachusetts.
And it's all that, like, they're all going through their own stuff, like, because they watch this video, which I'm going to get to in a second. But they go, you know, when teenage girls go through a bonding experience like that, and I'm the only girl that's here, so I don't know if guys are different, but I know that, like, if we...
Well, we did establish early on the podcast that Phil is a teenage girl.
Oh, yeah, we did. But you know what? You always share that stuff. You always share that stuff. Like, we used to do things like, you know... levitation, you know, and stuff like that. And then if there was something creepy going on during the week, ooh, you know, do you think we, or like playing, well, we never played with a Ouija board, but like if we did, and something weird had been going on, oh my God, the first thing you do is say to your friend, dude, are you having dreams? Because I'm having scary dreams. The fact that like a week has gone by and none of these girls have said anything to each other, that's just bad writing. I mean, that's not realistic. The first thing you would do is pick up the phone and call your friend and go, oh my God, holy crap, what did we do? Or I'm getting bothered, are you getting bothered? But the other problem that I had with this is that there's no, again, I had said that this movie was not built well from the beginning.
No.
And it's really not. When the scene in which the girls summon the Slender Man, it seems as though that scene is only there for the benefit of the audience. It's barely... It's full of, as you know, bombs and stuff, so it's really not that great. But it could have been better written to make it feel more organic.
What does as you know, bombs mean?
Bob means, oh, hi, let me tell you about the Slender Man. Oh, yeah, I know about the Slender Man, but tell me again so that the audience can know what the Slender Man is. It's like so bad.
Especially information that has already been established between characters, but is only being regurgitated, so the audience knows about it.
Right, exactly. But the problem is there's no motive for them summoning it, right? So in any story,
the motive is that the boys were doing it. So.
Yeah, they
but
like
there's
the
no
boys.
Motive for the boys to do it. That's the problem.
It wasn't through the boys' perspective, though. So
But it doesn't matter.
Of
just
all
like,
the problems
oh,
with
there's
the movie,
somebody...
I don't think that's one.
Well, it is because it's a grounding issue. Because she just says, oh, I know what the boys are doing. They're summoning the Slender Man. Okay, nobody says why. All she had to say was, you know, they're on a dare. You know about the Slender Man. That's all she had to say.
Then the girls
would have a motive because, oh, we're going to outdo the boys and call the Slender Man first. The fact that there was no motive there is, it's got to be mentioned. And this is what I was talking about with structure. That is a basic thing of structure. Mm-hmm. You have to have an idea why. The problem with a lot of these, like, horror...
Because it's cool. That's why they're doing it.
They're teenagers. They do stupid shit.
Okay, but... that's still not good story structure, period. End of story. It's not good story structure. You have to have a motive. This is why we don't give a crap later when everything happens, because we don't even know why they were doing it in the first place.
Well, we don't get a lot about their...
We're just going to do Slender Man because we can. Like,
well,
because it's cool.
Ouija movie,
it's cool.
Even in the terrible Ouija movie, the girl says to the other girl, well, if we do this, we might be able to find out who we're going to marry. That's all you need. You just need something. So it's not just random out of nowhere. These kids
feel
tethered to the Slender Man. But they're not tethered to anything. It's so random. And first of all, to me, they were too old. They're like in high school. What the hell are they still doing screwing around with Slender Man? Like, they're too old for that already.
No, they're not.
Well, then these kids are way younger in maturity-wise than we were, because we wouldn't have been messing that crap when we were 17.
No, because we didn't have the internet.
Well, that's right, we had books. But yeah, I think the Slender Man, I didn't understand what the connection was between these kids and the Slender Man. Nobody else in the school seemed to be talking about it. It was very ungrounded.
It was cool.
How much did they even establish that? I could see that argument. But I think, for me, them saying that the boys were doing it, and they're teenage girls, and they're talking about the boys the whole, you know, for a bit, and picking on the one girl, saying that Chad, or whoever his name was, you know, was going to be her boyfriend, you know.
That didn't make any sense to me either, because then later, when Ren and Haley have this argument, and she's like, oh, you finally got your date with Tom, I was like, okay, well, there was no importance put on her relationship with Tom in the beginning, so...
Oh, well, Tom was so badly handled.
Oh, yeah. You don't say.
Most of that was cut out, because in the trailer, it shows him suiciding. The first trailer.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because he...
Hey, Phil, I thought you didn't watch trailers.
I told Mike, because he asked the same question on Facebook, after I watched the film... I went and watched the trailers.
Right.
Well, actually, that's not true. I went and read reviews, and then I read that one of the trailers showed stuff and how the film was cut and destroyed by the production company. Yeah. So that's
right. I do think it's fair. Phil has mentioned we keep harping on the writing. We don't know the original screenplay. So if for some weird reason the writers are listening to this and pulling their hair out, saying, "But we did that! We did that!" We're talking about what's on the screen.
Yeah.
Because that's all we can address.
Basically, what Phil is referring to is that Tom eventually, despite Haley's warnings, watches the Slenderman video, and he goes insane. And there's a scene in a classroom they're dissecting, I think it was eyeballs. Eyeballs.
That's right, yeah.
And this whole thing being set up on the eyes, and basically, Tom was supposed to snap and jab the scalpel through his eye.
No, that's not true. It was the black girl was supposed to stab it through her eye.
Oh wait, did she have to do that?
Yeah, at least that's what the trailer showed.
Okay. So all right. So that, but then that's even worse then, because I thought I heard someone mention that someone stabbed themselves in the eye, and I thought we were seeing Tom there and he was being
Tom jumps off the school and kills himself, and then one of the girls, and I think it's the one that first got lost, comes out
Katie.
Of the woods. Yeah, comes out of the Chloe actually, I think her name. No, it was yeah, whatever.
Katie.
Yeah, she comes out of the woods in like a nightgown.
Oh yeah, she has black stuff on her face.
Yeah, and the cops find her in the field, and she's holding something, and they cut away from the trailer, but all that, and we were supposed to find out what she was holding. It was all cut out from the film.
Okay, so this is even worse. There's all kinds of things of characters dying or just leave the stage, and fuck, that's even worse.
Well, but like I said, that still doesn't. That still, we don't know what they cut out of the front end though, because like I said, Ren and Haley have a fight. And Ren is trying to be like, you have to listen to me, you have to listen to me, this Slender Man thing, it's real, blah, 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 blah. Now, that whole, her character arc didn't work when she goes mad, and here's why, because we don't know what kind of person she is in the beginning.
No.
Is she the kind of chick who always gets obsessive and cries wolf? So that way, that would make sense, then Haley would be like, oh, it's some more of your crazy bullshit, I'm not going to listen to you, when this is the one time she's actually right. If they had put that in there, then that would have worked. But because there was no balance on that front end, I was sitting here watching this argument, and then Ren is like, oh, you're going to go on a date with Tom? And I'm like, well, who gives a shit? It's not like Tom's really that important. All they did was allude to her flirting with him a little bit. There's no, like, if they had made it a big deal, like, oh, you're going to go out with Tom. Well, maybe Katie, maybe Haley is the girl who never gets the guy she wants. Maybe she's the girl who nobody ever looks at her.
Right.
So now it's a big deal.
And now she's
going to tell her friend, fuck off, I'm finally getting the guy I want. Then it makes sense.
So what they should have done, because they cut out almost all the Tom stuff, they should have cut out the scene when she says, don't look at the video, because you know he's going to look at the video. And they should have cut out the scene when they're talking about, where's Tom? He's staying out of school sick, and he's avoiding me, because we already know why. He saw the video, but they cut all that out, and then he suicides in the and that they cut all that out too. So they should have just cut out every scene.
Exactly.
Tom was in it.
Yeah, Mike said that. Why is this character in here? Just cut him out. It doesn't make. He doesn't work. He serves no purpose.
Right.
Honestly, this, at the rate it was going here, they might as well just have rewritten the whole fucking thing.
They should have, but like I said. But like I said, you know, earlier, I know it was funny when I said it, but it's actually not funny. They didn't do anything with character arcs. All these characters had these, you know, transformations or whatever, and we saw the end of it, but we never saw the beginning, so we're completely ungrounded. We don't know who these people are. We don't know what their deal is. And so why do we care? Why should we care? Instead,
I will say,
going, why are you messing around with any of this crap? This movie's pointless. Like,
well,
you know?
You're not wrong. Okay. You're not wrong. Well, there was one thing I liked about the interaction between Tom and Hallie, which is that this is one of the few instances I've seen in a movie like this where a teenage couple is alone together. And yeah, he set the mood by putting some music on, but she actually makes the first move on him. She leans in on him to kiss him It's usually, you know, you get the guy trying to make the moves, and the girl's like, oh, I don't know, I don't know. She was into it, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was a little refreshing. I did like the moments where they were kind of, he was acting like a dick. He was acting trying to listen to her for most of it. That was kind of nice and refreshing. I thought she was going to be like, you're crazy, and shit like that, and throw her out or something like that. But she actually tries to, you know, be reasonable for most of it. And I thought it was pretty good. I mean, there were things there for possibilities, but they just didn't come together.
Also, I still have to disagree with you a little bit, Chrissy, on motive. Because, again, I don't think there is really a need for motive. Because it's just a cool meme and people want to look at it. I know you mentioned, yeah, but they weren't talking about it in the school and all these other things.
I'm just going to jump in here because I'm tired of listening to this argument. I think the point she's trying to make is that this is a poorly written script, not that the characters were necessarily portrayed like teenagers don't act.
Fair enough. That's true. The script, I think we both can agree, even if it's differences, we both can agree that the script obviously dropped the ball at points, as well as the editing.
And that's what made me sad. It made me... I walked out of that movie not feeling upset that I saw crap, not feeling like, oh my God, that was bad. I walked out of there going, oh man, they just blew it. Like, right. who did this? Yeah.
Like, is awesome. And it was what, like, a travesty. Oh,
that's what I thought. This was a shit show.
It's like, oh my God, this is the film that's going to make Slender Man awesome and everybody's going to talk about it.
Totally. That is exactly how I felt. I felt really just disheartened. That's an excellent word.
Disheartened.
It was a depressing show.
Yeah. I love it. Disheartened.
Now, does anyone actually own Slender Man?
I was that guy that was crying as I was walking out of the, out of the movie. What do you mean, Mike?
Do you mean the IP, Mike? Is that what you're asking?
Like Disney owns Spider-Man. You know, does anyone own the Slender Man IP, or is this something anybody can make a movie of?
No. The guy, I think you...
It is owned by the guy.
The guy who created it, yeah.
But he allows it. He doesn't enforce it unless it's something that he obviously would be offensive to the character. But he purposely allows the character to be used by third parties without permission, because the point of it is to make the cool stories and so forth.
Although I believe these filmmakers or the studio or whatever, they did buy rights to use it for this, I believe, if I read that correctly.
That's probably true.
I'm sure they paid him something, because it's a major theatrical release, so that's a little different. Right. But like, if you and I wanted to write a novel about Slender Man, we would not have to consult him and ask him first. We could do it. Like, he's pretty much, from what I have read about him, which isn't much, because there's not a whole lot out there, but it's my understanding that what Phil said is correct. He just kind of allows people to use it as a property, because that is the point of things, as long as you're not, like... I mean, obviously, for a major theatrical release, he should be paid for it, you know? But, yeah, I think Phil's right about that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So he has the right, and he owns it, but he doesn't enforce it unless it's something like ridiculous or obviously a motion picture from Hollywood.
Well, I mean, I'm not obviously an entertainment or copyright lawyer, but my understanding is if you don't protect your IP, then when people take it from you, you know, you don't have much of a leg to stand on in court, which is one of the reasons why Disney is
aggressive. I think when he trademarked it, It's something where I don't know how he does it, but he does own the intellectual property without losing it. And I don't know how that is. I mean,
there's a term for what you're talking about, but I can't remember what it is.
Fair use.
Fair use, mate. Well, it's more than that, because
it's not
really
just fair use.
It's a little different from fair use. Yeah.
It's not copyright. They call it something.
Yeah.
Like common right or something stupid like that.
Right.
Well, for example, if you take, all right, like my short, somebody just asked me again the other day, did you get in trouble with Disney for your Disney book? Well, it's been out 8 years. Disney has not approached me. They still could, but I suspect it's because what I did was not, it's not fair use, but it's something like Eric was saying, common use, in that what I basically did in those books was use the park as a setting. Mm-hmm. I describe the rides as a setting. I don't use Donald Duck as a character, which is one of their trademarks. I don't use their trademark castle on the cover. Like, I don't use anything that's really trademarked because it's an actual place that people go to, and Disney encourages you to take pictures in front of this and do that. And the other thing, I didn't do anything in violation of common law. Now, if I had written a book and put the picture of Cinderella Castle on the cover of my book, then yes, I would have been in violation of their intellectual property and I would have gotten in trouble.
Right, but this is still different because this guy does own that intellectual property of Slender Man and what he looks like, but he still allows everybody to use it.
You know, I want to look all this up at some point because this is really fascinating.
So let's move on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's go. Move on.
Although I don't know what we're moving on to because there's not much else to say about this movie.
Well,
She's a tree!
I don't.
I mean, I think where I really saw this movie going places where I wish it had gone if it had been done well was I talked about, the whole idea of the Edgar Allan Poe story, where is this craziness from within or is it craziness from without?
Yeah.
And they really do play with this wonderful idea of madness, particularly in that scene we liked, Eric, in the library.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's all in her head, and in that moment where Katie is making out with Tom and she thinks he sees him all flipping out, but he's really not.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the thing that made me sad about this, because I was like, oh my God, if they had just developed this right, it really would have been
great. Well, it's similar to...
It's a viral internet thing that makes everybody go crazy, but it's really... I just think it really is sad.
It's similar to It Follows, where they're not mad, but they see it and it actually does exist to them, but not to everybody else. So that's what Slender Man's myth is. He's only seen by those who have either been summoned him or possessed him or whatever. And there's a whole mythology behind it, just as there's with vampires and all these other things.
Yeah.
And part of it is he lives in the forest or remote places. What are you going to say, Eric?
I was just going to say, the end of this movie is so bad.
Oh, God.
Well,
the last 10 minutes just made me want to vomit.
It was terrible. And, it was rushed, too. You could definitely feel it was being rushed.
Well, if they hadn't wasted so much time on her delusions, and if one more person asked her, are you okay? I was going to poke my eyes out with them. I was like, people are going to ask her before somebody does something. But the thing was, though, I think I know why the ending was terrible. Oh, and you guys will laugh, because when I went in to a 2:15 matinee on like a Tuesday afternoon.
Mm.
And I hand the guy my ticket for Slender Man, and he goes, oh. And I said, and I can tell. And I go, so does it. I laughed. I said, so I have to see this for a podcast that I do. And I said, does it suck? And he goes, oh, the last 10 minutes, blow. But then it blows at the end, is what he said.
Mike, you want to say something?
Yeah, Eric, you're not the only one who fell asleep during the film. Pam did, and she fell asleep while she was getting treed, and not in a fun Sam Raimi kind of way, getting treed. But when you fall asleep at the climax of the movie, I understand, like, you fall asleep during the conversation in the diner scene or something. But
I fell asleep when they went on their journey into the woods to perform the second ceremony.
Yeah, it's
fucking terrible.
I came up with a better ending for this movie, though, because you know how at the end you get the voiceover from the little sister about how Slender Man needs people to talk about him, so he spreads like a virus. Instead of having her voiceover, you have Agent Smith from The Matrix show up. Yes. The Slender Man is a virus.
My that better,
been a better ending.
You know what I think would have been a better ending? It's like stop the whole film after about 5 minutes.
Oh, God.
Hey, guys, what you doing? Not much. Okay, see you later. Roll credits.
Well, again, and you know, it's true. Again, like I said, you know, the sacrifice, something you truly love, in order to get the Slender Man to go away, he needs a sacrifice. So Haley wants to save her little sister, so she sacrifices herself. But again, the way this movie's built, the problem with this is I didn't see a strong enough relationship between her and her sister at the beginning. Well,
it seems
I mean,
like
we get a little bit of playfulness and some light affection and little sister whining that she can't hang out with big sister's friends, and that's it. I didn't see a strong enough love bond for this older girl to be like, I'm going to go kill myself so my sister can live. That just was way out there for me.
Right, and plus the whole Slender Man turning into a tree and enveloping people. What the fuck? That was out of left field.
That was so
sad. Oh, really? Okay, see, I'm not that familiar with the... I mean, I know Slender Man, and I've read some of the creepypastas and things over the years.
I haven't, but they certainly didn't set it up in the movie.
No.
That's true. They did not set that up in the movie at all. You're right. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, this movie really was like a shit show. It's too bad.
It was a giant shit on a stick.
Yeah.
It's over at the end didn't work for me either, because I sat there and said, well, who the hell is talking now? And where did this come from?
I knew who was talking, but I'm still stupid.
But there wasn't even something, like, if they had done something in that family or those characters to show that there was a reason that they had bonded together or might bond together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, and I understand, like, they've got a single mom or...
Right.
Something had happened. It's kind of a cliche, but at least, you know, she has to take care of them. Maybe they have an alcoholic mother, whatever. Just something to show us that there is a reason for them to bond together.
Yeah.
And that they care. And I swear to God, the sister was in, like, the first 10 minutes of the film and then disappeared for the next 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Until it became important for them to say, we need something for them to care about.
There was also this thing of trophies. That was like mentioned like once or twice, the main character Haley, and I felt like that was supposed to be connected with the sister too, but there was not. They didn't feel like there was connection.
Two things I wanted to mention real quick. One is too many jump scares in this movie, and when I say jump scare, there's a particular kind of jump scare that bugs me, and that's the kind that has the unnecessary loud stinger that goes along with it.
Oh yeah,
the insidious jump scare.
Yeah. So like there were a couple of scenes. There were two different scenes with the exact same scare in it. When she goes to look into the living room and somebody reveals themselves from the shadows, and both times we got this noise that going along with it. It's like just fucking stop. and the other thing is the same thing that bugged my friend Dan when we watched Sinister together. Just turn on the fucking lights! Come on! Flip the light switch! What the fuck?
We're trying to be environmentally conscious and conserve power.
I'm just saying.
I need to just say something here, Eric. There were jump scares in this because I missed them.
Well,
like, yeah, I wasn't scared in this movie at all. I was like,
I didn't say they worked. I said they existed.
They were bad jump scares.
Very bad jump scares.
Yeah, and something else I picked up, and Phil and Eric, you might not have noticed because you don't watch trailers. Like, the beginning of the film felt like it was a trailer editing, you know? It's because the dialogue was so clipped, and it felt like it was just so perfunctory, and let's move the plot along. Let's have the dialogue to move the plot along and set up the story for the people. It felt like I was watching a movie trailer.
Okay. I can see that.
It was just... Yeah,
no, the dialogue between the teachers was not written well. That's a fact. No.
Now, I do have hope that if they could fuck up Ouija and then do Ouija Origin of Evil, and if they could do Annabelle and then follow that up with Annabelle Creation, They can always do Slender Man and then Slender Man, We're Sorry for the First Film.
No, I was just making a little joke. I mean, you can always try again. I just think it definitely needs to, you know, be better thought out and definitely try to make sure that...
Or thought out at all.
Thought out at all, but, you know, it also not be hacked to bits.
Right.
And look, and I understand everything Phil's saying, and there's a lot of evidence in this movie, like Tom, that shit was just butchered. But we don't know why they were butchered necessarily. Maybe some of that stuff really just didn't work. So we can, it'd be curious to see this restored footage and if it comes out with restored footage. I can't imagine there's going to be a huge demand because the film hasn't been that successful. But who knows? Maybe there is a better film in there, or maybe it's a worse film. Maybe it's just a bad film that's 15 minutes longer.
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, it's a main release, and as we know, with Blu-rays and whatnot, they slack on that stuff nowadays, so would there be a director's cut? Maybe they just put it together and release it, because a lot of times they do that, and then they don't even release the theatrical cut, so that's possible. But again, that's the thing, is that these films still do have life when they hit VOD and stuff, because a lot of films that we review, we talk about and say, oh, they're awesome, or they suck, and we don't hear anything about them, and then 6 months later, they go, Edge of Tomorrow, did you see that film? It was awesome! It's like,
yeah, we told you!
six months ago. You know, so it happens a lot.
Yeah, so 6 months from now, it'll hit VOD and everybody will go like, oh my God, this movie's a piece of shit. We'll be like, we tried to warn you!
And it's not just us. Everybody's warning.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I do think people are taking it to a screen sorry, Abe, but you were way melodramatic. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen. It's not even the worst movie I've seen this year.
I said this year, not ever.
Yeah.
I said this year.
I've seen worse movies this year.
All right, Eric, can you name one? Because I'm having a
lot. I can name two.
Okay.
Killing of a Sacred Deer is high on my list.
That's not last year, and you're wrong.
Oh, damn it.
And you are wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. Sorry,
but if you'll let me talk, that'd be nice.
Not if you're going to
speak. I'll give you 2 minutes.
I was trying to give my examples. One is The Open House, that came out on Netflix earlier this year, and the other one was Dawn of the Dead Bloodline.
Didn't see that either.
That came out at the beginning of the year. I recommend you not see either of them.
So as I said, for my opinion, this was the worst film I saw this year.
Okay.
Just saying, if I had seen those, maybe my opinion been different. But I didn't see them.
I got it.
And I've been warned off of those by plenty of people.
Same here as well.
What was the movie, The Blood Guy? Oh, he was the Autopsy of... No.
What?
The movie that Day of the Dead Bloodline guy did, that Phil loved. Something of Anna Fritz?
Yeah, The Corpse of Anna Fritz. Yeah, that's it.
I didn't care for that myself.
Yeah, but that was a good film, even if you didn't like it. It was awesome. That film was the best.
We're disagreeing all over the place on this podcast.
No, we're not, because the film still sucks.
No, yeah, that's what we're doing.
No, listen, we all agree that Slender Man sucks.
Yes, we can all agree on that. Let's unite on that front.
Oh, actually, you know what? I like this film better than Winchester.
No.
What?
No.
I liked it better than I liked the brooding and the darkness, and I liked the,
all right,
Mike said, the teenage girl. I'm a teenage girl at heart, so I liked the character.
You just complained that it was too dark.
Well, I meant brooding, though. I still like the brooding feel of the film. Even if not the physical tinting of the film, but the brooding feel of the film. Winchester, I didn't like it at all. That was not too good, I felt. Oh, no, I actually saw one worse than that. That Cloverfield film. That film was horrible.
No, it wasn't. No. You just had the wrong expectations.
Cloverfield Paradox.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
That was terrible. Oh, my God.
No.
For me, it was the worst film of the year by far. I couldn't stand it.
No, this is your new Hush.
No,
you're going to die alone on that hill.
Not true, because most people agree with me that the film wasn't that good.
No,
I don't know. No,
but Phil, you're saying it's terrible, and they're saying it wasn't that good. There's a big gap between terrible and isn't that good.
Yeah, but I'm not debating people, because no one's going to be saying, Phil, you're wrong. They're going to say, well, yeah, that's
it.
I did hear from a lot of people, though, because when you guys were talking about that Cloverfield movie, and, like, I was hearing from other people that, like, aren't in the horror community, like, oh, my God, I watched that. It sucked, Chrissy. Don't bother. So I was like, oh, okay. So that was
my only problem with that movie is that it has the word Cloverfield in the title.
It would have been fine if it didn't.
It had the word Cloverfield in the title, so it gave people the wrong expectations going into it.
Okay, well, that's understandable. That's totally understandable.
But it still wasn't a good film, I felt.
It is easily the worst in the Cloverfield franchise.
I'll agree with that, yes.
And I liked some of it, and some of it didn't make any sense. It was there.
There was a lot of backlash to that movie because it was announced suddenly, and everybody was intrigued, so everybody watched it, and it didn't live up to their expectations, so they crapped on it.
Or you just think it was a terrible film, as I did. I just didn't like it.
You already made that point several times.
And he'll make it several more.
So
you want to say it one more time? Will it make you feel better?
No, but you were making it implied that I didn't like it because of the Cloverfield name and how it was released and all that, and my expectations were high.
Yeah, in fact, no, that's true.
When, in fact, the movie was just a terrible film, in my opinion. Again, I'm not trying to force you to change your opinion.
Well, then why are you still talking?
So the Slender Man, the movie, the lead actress in this one, she wasn't the lead actress, but she was the high top build.
Are you talking about Joey King?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't know anything about this woman, but is she supposed to be a new star or something?
It's weird. They're acting like she is, but I haven't seen her in anything else.
Yeah, just it's Conjuring. She was one of the little girls in the Conjuring. Yeah, but she wasn't the main character.
No, I know.
No, but they got this like whole thing, an interview with her on this page on IMDb. Joey King! I don't know who this is.
Yeah. But,
it's probably an attempt to try to build a new actress. You know, I mean, just, you know.
The new Chloe Moretz, whatever her name is.
Whatever is going on, I mean.
And Phil. Phil, you said you got a bundle with Mad 19?
Yes.
If you play, there's a story way to play that game where you kind of just watch a story and then do things within the story, and she does one of the voices in that.
Joey King,
yeah.
A 12-year-old girl, whatever, 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, I'm looking at her credits on IMDb right now. Madden NFL 19 Long Shot Homecoming.
Interesting.
She voices Tom Brady?
No, so... she voices Loretta Cruz.
Letter clues, whatever. It's curious that they were promoting her as the big name, like that would draw people in to see the film.
Well, she was born in 1999, so she's relatively young, just about to hit 20. So,
yep.
Maybe you're right. Maybe she's got a good agent, you know.
Yeah, you're probably right. And she was good in the role. She was actually the most interesting character.
No, she did damn good. Honestly, in my opinion, I wish she was the main character if they had written her right.
Yeah, I could agree with that, Abe, because I liked how she was like this jittery, like freak out type of person. I mean, she was great. The character was great.
No, so, I'll look for her in other roles in the future. I think she has promise.
Yeah. Sure does.
Is this the girl who played Ren?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I thought she was good. I liked her a lot.
She was the redhead?
No.
No.
She was the one who was, like, doing the, like, research.
Yeah. The one at the, okay, yeah, okay.
The library.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
She had, like, chestnut hair. Yeah, the redhead was the first girl that disappeared, Katie.
The one that wasn't the black one, so it wasn't the redhead and wasn't Hallie.
All right.
Right. Exactly. It was the library chick.
Library chick, yes. That's what I put it.
Yeah.
By the weird father.
But, you know, I think...
Yeah. No. The one with the weird father was the redhead.
All right.
I think Ren could be really effective because she's already into this stuff, And maybe, and the very fact that her sanity is most clearly, you know, the one in question, that it would have been really good to try to create that kind of sense of whether this is real or wasn't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I really wish they had built her up a little bit more in the beginning as maybe, you know, as maybe someone who was a little bit more, you know, like, oh, you've cried wolf a million times. You're always getting into this weird shit. Like, we don't need to listen to you. I think if they had built her up a little bit more like that on the front end, the ending, you know, her role toward the end would have made more sense.
What they should have done was have some sort of a story of that explained more about the Slender Man and what he was.
Well, and that,
yeah, I would agree with
sequel,
that too.
It should be yeah. that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, too, because that was really scant. There was...
So let's just all keep our fingers crossed and hope we get, like, an Annabelle creation with a Slender Man sequel.
I agree. Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome. Slender Man is awesome. So that would be great if they don't abandon the character. And
justice come... for Slender Man.
And I would like... actually, the film, one of the other films I was thinking of, I mentioned Nightmare on Elm Street, was It Follows. And the way this film was shot, besides it being all dark, was so many close-ups.
Yeah.
Right? And, and with close-ups on faces and black in the background, and they really would have benefited from doing what It Follows did, which is keeping everything open so you could spend the film kind of looking for Slender Man there in the background.
Yeah.
Right.
And seeding that in a little bit more than they did. And I think of the scene from Hereditary where... You know the scenes playing out, and before you realize that there's something in the corner of the room,
without any goddamn stinger,
without a boing, yeah,
yes,
right, yeah.
No, that would be cool to have some scenes with like Slender Man at the edge of the woods, and the camera's just panning, and they don't make any noise,
boing,
and you either see them or you don't, and like people in the audience start gasping, and all of a sudden people start catching on. That would be cool.
Yeah, well, that's what they had the sound design in place perfectly. So if they had stuff like Slender, like Chrissy mentioned, that you kind of see him every so often in the background, but if you're not paying attention, you don't see him. It should have been more obvious that he's there, or you possibly think he's there in the woods or at the cemetery or all this other place, and have that crackly tree limb branch sound that they kept on doing, which was awesome, and no stinger, and just have it creepy, and you're just watching like, oh my god, there he is, or something like that. That's what they should have done.
And I will say one more positive thing about this movie. I mentioned the sound design earlier. One particular element of the sound design that I enjoyed was the bell tolling.
Because
I liked how the third one was at a lower pitch because it caught me off
guard.
Yeah,
that was cool. That was cool. That was creepy. Yeah,
I was expecting three of the same tone, you know, like a church bell or whatever, but it's just like bong, bong, bong. It's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, that was cool. Really nice.
Yeah.
And I thought what they did with the actual video that the girls watched was interesting, too, because if you went with the idea
that... The Slender Man video?
No, the Slender Man video.
Oh, okay.
If you went with the idea that, hey, is this madness or is it in, you know, or is it real, mm-hmm. That video, the way that it kind of manipulated and, like, got sort of... I don't know how to say it. There was a warning about seizures in our theater.
Uh-huh.
The way that they shot that little film, almost if they had done it properly and wanted to get across that, hey, is this in their heads? Is it madness or is it real? That video was very fitting for that. Like, you could have looked back on this movie, had it been done right, and you could have looked back on that moment and said, maybe there's something in that movie that kind of messes with your brain. And it's not really Slender Man. It's like something that screws with your brain waves. Like, well, I liked how that was done because that was that could have been a possibility had they, you know what I mean? So
I'm going to disclaim this before I even say this because I'm not on any level trying to say that this movie is near the quality of The Ring. But... that video kind of reminded me of the video from The Ring.
No, I agree. Absolutely.
I completely agree. That was what I thought. When I first saw it, I went, oh my gosh, it's The Ring.
It was a solid video, so it could have been in The Ring. It really was the story around the video that was the problem.
Right, right.
You know, except for the sound design and a couple of cool moments, but which is unfortunate. Because, again, it is a missed opportunity, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything else anybody wanted to bring up about this film or the Slender Man myth or anything like that? Right, very well. For folks who are interested in creepypastas, the TV show Channel Zero on the Sci-Fi Network is going into its fourth season shortly.
Did I read that just got added to Shudder?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, and it was on Comcast On Demand as well. And you can, I think you can watch it, or at least partly watch it, on the Sci-Fi app or .com as well. And oddly, the first season had a 90-something percent, and every season since, at least the last two that have been released, have gotten 100%. So,
check them out.
Yeah, so there,
the first season was creepy and weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that fucking tooth guy creeped me the fuck out.
That was weird, yeah. And that those puppets were, like, fucking weird.
Right.
Yeah. And Patrick Lacey did a terror tantrum on that, and he loves that show.
Cool.
So, yeah, so it's definitely something to check out if you're into creepy pastas. And then Marvel Hornets is the most famous online YouTube creepypasta of Slender Man that went on for four seasons. Videos range from 3 minutes or 30 seconds to up to 4 hours. And that's intentional because they wanted to make it look like it was more, you know, real. So, you know, you're not going to have a specific time. And that has been, that received rave reviews as well. And I think that ran from 2011 to 2014, I'm told. And then, of course, there's plenty of other stuff on YouTube and whatnot, too, about Slender Man. All right, so let's give our final thoughts on the film. So we will start with Abe again, I guess.
Yeah, this movie was a wasted opportunity. It was a fucking disaster. Things were cut, things were unfinished. It was a concept that was not completely realized, and with a character as an iconic as a Slender Man, it deserved better. I really would not waste the money to go see this film. I honestly don't even think you should even check it out, unless you have like something like Netflix when it comes out, we can just see it for free, since you're already paying for it or something like that. I mean, I honestly wouldn't watch it, period. It's a mess. Just go check out the YouTube channel, for Marvel Hornets, and stuff like that. You'll have a much better time. I mean, you'll have a much, much better time, because this movie is a mess. It's a shit on a stick. With little flies on it.
Tell us how you really feel.
In the sun.
All right, let's go with Mike.
All right, well, I could talk about how much this movie sucks, because, you know, that's what we've been doing. Or I could point out that I just saw online that they're going to be bringing out Maximum Overdrive on Vestron Video. Speaking of shitty films, so
fucking terrible.
but a lot more fun than this, I think. So yeah, I don't have anything more to say. We've said it. We've beaten it to death, and I don't even think it's as memorably bad as like The Gallows. This feels more like the second last exorcism, or whatever that was called.
It's a skid mark.
Yeah.
Or I'll just say it to piss Eric off. Cloverfield Paradox?
No.
Fuck yourself.
all right, so my final thoughts. Well, it was interesting looking at this film and seeing the helicopter shot of the town and saying, I know that town. And then seeing the graveyard and saying, I swore I've been in that graveyard, and then seeing the downtown streets and say, I know this street, and then finding out that it was made in Ayer, Massachusetts, where I was not far from, and just had driven through the town a couple of days ago when I came home from the doctor for my general one-year appointment. So that was kind of cool to see all these things, knowing I know these things, and then finding out I actually do. And Slender Man is awesome. But, yeah, this unfortunately, unless you're from Ayer or Greater Ayer, Massachusetts, I don't know if this film is worth seeing, even if you're a huge fan of Slender Man, because Slender Man is awesome, but this film doesn't really give him justice, unfortunately. So, yeah, I think Abe is right. If you can see it for free on Netflix, maybe check it out, especially if you're a Slender Man fan. But unfortunately, yeah, the film is probably one of the major disappointments of the year based off of the hype, the trailer, and then the product that we actually see was somewhat of an unfortunate mess. But it does have cool sound design and some interesting ideas. It just is a mess. Chrissy.
Well, I have very little to add. I agree. I think it's a missed opportunity. I think had it been written properly, it would have been a really nice comment on the viral internet and lack of identity today. And I think it would have really worked as a modern day Poe-esque tale about madness. But unfortunately, it just was not built well and it was not written well. And it really suffers from a lack of structure as well as some of the other things that we've discussed tonight. So that's really all I have to say. I would say, you know, same thing everybody else said. If it's free and you have Netflix or something and it's free, then, you know, and you're like bored, you can check it out. But if you're already bored, I think this might probably do you in. I don't know. It's just not a good film. That's really all I have to say. It has a few merits, but not enough for me to warrant telling you guys to go spend $8, $9, $10, $12 to go watch it. So,
how about $5 Tuesdays?
Well, $5 Tuesdays maybe, except I was really lucky because I had a $5 reward, so I actually did not pay for this. It was free for me. So that's about what it was worth.
All right. Eric.
Not much to add. It's a lost opportunity. This is not a good movie. I think the people who made it have some talent, and I will look for other stuff that they will do in the future and give them another chance. But this piece of work is bad. It has bad script, and it was clearly interfered with. My advice isn't even to watch it on Netflix. I would steer clear.
All right, very well. All right, so that was Slender Man 2018. It was kind of, we pretty much guessed that there was going to be some troubles based off of the changing of the release date, the rumors of the cutting, the change from what we saw in the trailer, as well as rumors that they were trying to sell the film off to other companies. Rather than release it at theaters by, I think it was Sony. But all in all, it is what it is. So that's Slender Man. Sean Spinks had already written on Facebook that he thought it was terrible, and it's not necessarily that he wasn't that off.
Let me ask you very quickly, just yes or no. If this ends up getting released with, not in theaters, but on home video with the extra footage or the lost footage put back in, how many of us would consider rewatching it?
I would rewatch it with the extra footage back in just on the off chance that maybe some of the front matter had been cut. Although I doubt that that's what they cut, but I would watch it just to be curious.
For me, yeah, I would definitely check it out. Again, I'm not like Abe in with this film. I mean, I'm not like disgusted. I'm more disappointed and depressed because I love Slender Man. So I would like to check it out to see if it is better with all the new footage in it. So I would do so, Mike.
Okay.
I'm actually doing some myself. I mean, I might get if you offer a discount and pay like a full price for just being released, but you know, just in case maybe you know the things that you removed could actually be reintegrated into the film and perhaps restore some of its narrative structure, then maybe we'll give it a shot.
For me, just the extra footage wouldn't be enough for me to watch it again. If there was a commentary, I might check it out, though. Because I'd just be curious to hear the behind the scenes of how that mess happened.
I would have to hear really good word of mouth and probably have to see it for free, like on Netflix. I don't know that I would pay for it. And I certainly wouldn't do it as a blind shot.
I might rent it if I could get the full cut for like $4 so I could just watch it out of curiosity.
That's how I would, yeah.
Yeah, but if the only way I could get it was like to buy the damn disc, then that answer is no, because I don't
want to. Unless the disc came with like an awesome 1-hour documentary about Slender Man, which has nothing to do with the movie, but just about the Slender Man, I would, you know, and maybe a commentary. I mean, if it had a bunch of extras, I would consider buying the disc.
I'm about to say, I don't. Personally, I wouldn't spend like $15 on a DVD for a documentary I'll watch once.
Yeah, all right. Well, I don't know.
If a documentary is good, though, I'm a rewatcher of documentaries, so yeah, I would do that. Yeah, that one, that HBO special about the stabbing, which I don't really know how slanted that is or not, which is why I take it with a grain of salt. I've watched that 7 or 8 or 9 times because I just put it on in the background while I'm doing stuff because I know it's good. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll put that in and listen to it.
I don't think it's good. But I watched it twice because I wanted to rewatch it because of this episode. But, yeah, I mean, if you like it, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, for me to just put it, my favorite part, Phil, is when they talk about the origins of the Slender Man.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
That's the part.
Yeah, I think the first hour of it, it's a 2-hour documentary. I think the first hour.
Is this on HBO?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to have to check it out.
Beware of Slender Man, it's what it's called.
You can watch it on YouTube, Eric.
No, well, it's true.
I have HBO, so I'll watch it that way.
HBO. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And I think they do I personally found very effective the drawing of the way that impacted the family and
yeah that's true but you know what I think they go way too much. It's a problem with all these documentaries, right? The victim always gets fucked over, and the artist, meaning the art of Slender Man, gets fucked over, and it's trying to be apologist for two people. And I know Sean Spinks has seen it, and he's disgusted with the documentary because he knows some of the family, the victim and stuff. So it's depends on your perspective, I guess, Mike.
Well, I mean, they're crazy. They don't make any bones. I mean, they're 12-year-old girls who stab somebody because they shit they saw on the internet. You know, they're crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
But is it worth a 2-hour documentary when there's a child that dies in Chicago every day? You know what I'm saying?
Well, because that's not as interesting a story, because they just get shot, you know, from somebody who's a gangbanger. I mean, it's a story we've heard 1,000 times.
Well, you have to understand. Well, and you have to understand.
Good
too,
night, everybody.
You have to understand too that the reason that they do these documentaries on these high profile cases is because they were media sensations, and documentarians can get some attention for themselves and their budding careers if they cover topics that people are interested in that are going to get a high rating or high viewings. I mean, that's why they do documentaries about things like this.
I would have enjoyed a documentary on the actual title of the documentary, which is Beware the Slender Man and Learn All
About How It Got Started, images, all the, like all of the influencing folklore that I talked about.
Right.
There's so much. You could do like a 2-hour documentary on every single piece of folklore out there. You'd have to interview a lot of scholars and a lot of academics that contributed to the different parts of the Slender Man story. That would be a really fascinating documentary. Somebody needs to make that documentary.
Absolutely.
And then how it got started and its social context and, like, how socially it sort of represents, like I said, the lack of identity, the fact that he's faceless, as the new villain of today. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just endlessly fascinating.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And that's why I watched the documentary originally, because that's what I thought it was about. And then I see it's about this apologist on potential murderers. And then you read behind how the family of the victim refused to participate because they knew exactly the spin that was what the whole documentary was about. And I don't know, it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth, the whole thing. So, again, that's just my opinion. But, the real reason I wanted to watch the documentary in the first place was because I thought it was going to be a whole history on the creation of Slender Man and all that stuff that you were just talking about, Chrissy. And it really only has a half hour of that, and another half hour and a half is basically just another crime documentary that I can just watch on A&E if I really want to. But I don't know. Anyway, all right, so that's Slender Man 2018 film. And that's pretty much all we got to say about that. So, unless anybody else has anything else to say, Eric, why don't you lead us out?
Thanks for tuning in. Let's talk about Slender Man. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.